I do want to thank all of you that were faithful to the revival meeting. I appreciate that so much. And my, what a good meeting we did have. Mark chapter number 10, we're going to start in verse number 46. Before I begin, I want to pray and ask God's blessings upon the message today. If he doesn't help us, we will have just gone through the motions. That's what we'll do. We'll just play today. Some of you may be still weary from the revival meeting. Maybe a little beat down and tired. But I believe God has something for us this morning. So if you would pray with me and for me. Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you this morning. And Lord, you know I'll just make a mess out of preaching if you don't help me. I'm unable. I'm insufficient. Lord, I have to have you to help me. Give me clarity of speech and thought. You know what you want your people to have. Help me to preach exactly. Lord, you just preach through me. Open the hearts of the listeners and do in our hearts and lives what needs doing. And Father, I'll just give you the glory for all that's accomplished. If there's anything that would hinder the work in the Holy Spirit, refrain it for a few minutes and allow Him free course in our midst. See us, Father, for what we are, just strugglers needing help from you. Help us, Lord, please. Touch me and let me preach with unction and with your anointing. And Father, whatever you choose to do, we'll praise you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. I want to share a very common story with you all today. And as we look at this story, I usually take a text and I see the sinner. Or I see the saint. And I see the application in the spiritual, as a servant of God or as a sinner needing the Savior. But as I look at this text this morning, and the reason I'm telling you this is I'm probably going to jump back and forth some. I see a picture. I see old blind Bartimaeus here. And certainly a picture of a sinner. We know that. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4 says this, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost." Now I want you to listen to this next phrase. We never get this very much. "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not." Believing not came previous to blinded minds. It didn't say they were blinded and could not believe. It said that they were blinded when they believed not. My, that's a powerful statement to me. Well, anyway, "lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." But I want to show you another verse that came to my mind or I come across in my as I prepared for this message. I want you to turn to 2 Peter real quick. We'll quit flipping here in just a minute. Just hold your place in Mark chapter number 10. Second Peter chapter number 1. Now I want you to notice I'm going to start reading in verse number 5. "And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue." See, you need more than faith. You add to your faith virtue. "To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, temperance." That's self-control. "And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity." Now, I believe we would say he's speaking to believers. Would y'all agree with me on that? I think so. For I don't think any of you disagree with that. "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Here's what I want you to get. "But he that lacketh these things is blind." Now we're talking about believers. And we're talking about adding some things to our faith. And if you add them, you shall abound. If these things are in you and abound, ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful. But he that lacketh these things, the Christian can lack these things, is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. So here is a believer who is blind. Now he's not totally blind. He can't see afar off. He's nearsighted. How many of you have seen believers who live their life for today and never look out yonder to see what the consequences are going to be down the road? Isn't that so? We see it all the time. I've actually sat down with my wife and said, do they not realize what they're doing? Do they not realize where they're headed? And they cannot see afar off. They can see up close. They know what they want to do and what they think they're going to do up close. They can't see far off. Your actions has consequences, long-range consequences. And many times, God's believers are blind. They're nearsighted. They can't see afar off. And so as I thought about Bartimaeus, I thought, my, that could be a picture. That really could be a picture of a believer. I thought about that. Maybe a struggling believer. And then I just thought it was maybe a saint that's not right with God and he's living his life the way he wants and he's just not looking ahead to see that. And so as I begin to think about this, here's the overall thought. Here is a man that has a problem that is a serious problem, and he can't do anything about it, but he received help. And I'm gonna title this, Brother Mike, Experiencing the Impossible. Experiencing the Impossible. And I can preach this to a sinner. I can preach it to a saint. You can make whatever application the Holy Spirit makes to your heart this evening. But I want you to think about this morning. Do you have a problem that needs solving? Now, I think what the answer is in this room with every one of us would probably be yes. There's some things I need the Lord to help me with. And so I want us to think of it in that vein. This fella, people with problems come in different. And I'll get to preaching in a minute. Just let me kind of taxi down the runway a minute. People with problems come in different shapes and sizes. Some have problems and don't even know they have a problem. The woman at the well. She had a problem. She wasn't looking for a solution. She really didn't even think she had a problem. She had a problem. She didn't know she had a problem. Some have problems and they don't want to solve it. They know it's a problem. They don't want to do anything about it. I think that's where a lot of your alcohol and drug people get to. They get to the point, they know it's a problem, they know they need to do something about it, but they don't want to. And then, as we look at Bartimaeus, we're going to see the third category I'm going to mention. Here's a man with a problem who wanted a solution to it. He had a problem. He knew he had a problem. Here's a fellow, matter of fact, he has multiple problems. And not only does he have a problem, he doesn't want to stay, he doesn't want to carry this problem through life, but he has a problem and he wants help solving his problem. Now I'm gonna say this to you. You can't help people that don't want help. If you're well satisfied with a lukewarm Christian life, there's no use for me to try to help you. If you're real satisfied and you know you've got a spiritual problem in your life and you don't want to deal with it, then I can't help you. In fact, the matter, if you've got a problem in your life and the Holy Ghost hadn't opened it up to you and made it real in your life that you've got a problem and you don't even realize it, you're not going to receive anything that's been said to you. But I'm going to tell you who you can help. Those who know they have a problem and they won't help. You can help those. You can point them in the right direction. And that's who Bartimaeus is. Now, the problem may be today you need to be saved. That may be the problem. You're a sinner. You're on your way to hell. And if you don't get saved, you're going to go to hell. Well, there's a solution. The problem may be today financial problems. You've not honored the Lord as you should, and you have finance, and maybe you have honored the Lord as you should, and you still have financial problems. And you see no way out. Can I tell you? There's a solution for it. Maybe you've got family problems. Your children's acting up. And my, they're just... You've done all you can do. And there's nothing more you can do. And you know there's a problem. And you don't know what to do. Can I tell you there is a solution to it? I'm telling you, I know the one who has the solution to all problems. It may not be an immediate solution for some. It may not be like Bartimaeus instantaneous. For the sinner, it is. But in the realm of spiritual service and in the realm of the Christian life, it may not be immediate. But he has a solution. And so that's the way I'm coming to this Scripture this morning. I'm looking at a man with a problem and he just won't help. He's not saying, "Preacher, leave me alone." He's not turning off what the preacher has to say. He wants help. And so as we read this text, there's so much that you can say about the text, but I want to just kindly... just take it maybe a verse at a time. Maybe I'm just going to teach this morning. I don't know. The Bible says in verse 46, "And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging." We see two problems. Number one, he was bankrupt. Or in poverty. He's begging. Number two, he's blind. Now, can I say this? Those two problems are interrelated. If he solves one problem, most likely he solved the other problem. The reason he has to beg, most likely, is because he's blind. If he can solve his blindness, he may be able to solve his poverty problem. Now the point I'm making, some of you may say, "I have all kinds of problems." And here's what I want to say. You may solve the problem, and it may take care of several problems. That's right. If you need to be saved, if you'll get saved and live for God, it'll solve a lot of problems. It won't just solve your hell-deserving and hell-bent problem. It'll solve a lot of problems in your life when you solve that one problem, don't you say? And so here's Bartimaeus, and we know he has at least two problems. He is poor and he's blind. And most likely the blindness has led to his poverty. And so here he is, he cannot see. I think about him just being a type of the walk by faith. I mean, we walk this Christian life praying and doing what we can do. That's what Bartimaeus was doing. Bartimaeus was doing all he could do. I mean, what can a blind man do but sit by the highway side and beg? At least his pride didn't get in the way. He's at least trying to do what he can do. But the fact of the matter is, he can't solve this problem. He can't solve this problem. And that's the way it is in the faith walk a lot. You're doing everything you know to do, and you just don't see the answer come. Can anybody relate to what I'm saying this morning? I mean, you're praying, you're reading, you're studying, you're trying to live a holy, godly life, and you just can't seem to solve some of the problems you have in your life. I can see that in this text. The point I'm making, I think there are several applications that we could draw from the text. And I think they would work. Now, I've always heard this as preached towards the sinner, and I'm going to probably go that route. But I want to say this: you may have multiple problems, but the solving of one problem might solve most of your problems. I want that to soak in. You might evaluate your life and see what the real problem is in your life. Because problems produce other problems. That's right. If there's somebody having problems with their children and anxiety sets in their life, then they're going to have health issues somewhere down the road. And so these problems just kind of like leaven. If you allow it, it'll just keep spreading and spreading. And so I want to bring you some little truths here about a man who couldn't see the answer, but he did get help. He got help. He didn't know the answer. And so I just want to start through it. First of all, he had problems. I've already said that. They were interrelated problems. If one solved, the other will be as well. And then I said this, he knew he had problems. He wasn't living in denial. He wasn't playing the hypocrite and saying, really, I know y'all think I don't have problems. I can see fine. Oh, no. He wasn't playing the hypocrite. He was just honest-hearted about it. I'm blind. I need help. And he sought that help. And so as we come to this character called Bartimaeus, we see he had problems. He knew he had problems. He was aware he was blind. He was aware he was living in poverty. My, he was doing all he could to help himself, but it wasn't enough. He couldn't help himself. He couldn't solve his problems. He needed a helper. And can I say this? He knew men couldn't help him. You don't see him hollering or crying out, be the right way to say it. You don't see him crying out to that multitude that's following Jesus and say, hey, you all help me. You don't see him doing that. He knew the help he needed was not earthly help, but heavenly help. Now, I don't know what your problem might be. I don't know if you're lost. I don't know if some's here's backslid. I don't know if their heart's hard on God. It's not for me to know. But can I tell you, man can't solve a heart problem. If you've got a broken heart, if you're so brokenhearted, you don't know up from down, I can't solve it. I can't say the words or lay my hand on your head and you leave this building and your heart is mended back together. I can't do it. I don't have that ability. You see, there are some problems we have and many problems we have that cannot be solved by earthly means but only by heavenly means. The fact of the matter is, most of our problems, if we could solve them by earthly means, they wouldn't be a problem. We would have already taken care of it. Isn't that right? And so here we are. We're looking at Bartimaeus, who is helpless, and everybody around him is helpless. And he's got a serious problem that's creating other problems, and he's needing help. He knows it. He wants help. And so we start the story. And here's what the Bible says. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began, I'm in verse 47. Here he is begging by the highway side. He's begging. A great number of people are passing by. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, by the way, that's a negative term for Jesus. Nazareth was an undesirable place. When you said Jesus of Nazareth, you were not necessarily complimenting the Lord. And so here's what they say. And when he heard, they're calling him apparently Jesus of Nazareth because that's what he heard. He began to cry out and say, Jesus. He doesn't say Jesus of Nazareth. He said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. So here he is, and blind Bartimaeus is blind, can't help himself, but he hears a message. He hears. He can't see. He can't see the future. He does not know what's going to happen next week, next month, next year, in the next decade. He doesn't know, but he hears a message that gives him hope. He can't see anything that's going to give him hope. He can't look with his own eyes at the situation he's in and say, hey, I see what's happening and there's going to be help for me down the road. He can't see that. But he hears something. He hears something. It's the hearing. It's the hearing that helped him. It wasn't what he saw. It's what he heard that helped him. Now I want you to just bear with me. I'm just going to walk you through this little simple story. And we'll be through here in a few minutes. Verse 47 again. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, that prompted him to action. He heard that it was Jesus. Now, as far as I'm concerned, he's had to hear some other things about Jesus. He's not just heard that a man named Jesus of Nazareth is walking by there, but he's had to have heard that this Jesus has power. That this Jesus has healed other folks that had great needs. And no doubt some, I suspect maybe somebody would say this to him, if you ever get a chance to get to Jesus, he can help you. I'm thinking maybe that's what somebody's told him somewhere, because when he hears that Jesus of Nazareth is passing by, he gets stirred up about it. You know why? He believes. He has faith. He places his trust in the fact that Jesus can help him. So he gets stirred up about it. I'm going to tell you, some of you don't think Jesus can help you with your problems. Can I say some of us? I'll tell you what my life is. I'm like the old father of the lunatic son. I believe, but help thou my unbelief. Isn't that where we're at most of the time? But those that come to God must believe that He is. And He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Well, here's Bartimaeus, and he hears this. Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And he doesn't say this, I wish Jesus would help me. He doesn't just say this. He doesn't just say, man, if he'd just come over my way, if I could just get through those people, if those people just wasn't there, I could get help. I mean, he doesn't look at why he can't get help. He does what he thinks he needs to do to get help. I don't know if that's helping you, but man, it's helping me when I think about old Bartimaeus in an impossible situation and Jesus passes by and he gets help. Now, he could have been timid. He could have let people influence him into doing what they wanted him to do. He could have been. Here's where a lot of people are. They won't call out to God. They won't come to an altar when God's dealing with them. They won't do this because they're letting this congregation keep them from doing what they need to do to get help.
Amen.
That's right. You know what the devil told me the night I got saved? Why don't you wait till it's not so crowded? That's what he said. See, there's a big crowd here. Guess what? Bartimaeus is not waiting. Here's what the Bible says he did. And here's what you're going to have to do. If you want help, you're going to have to get serious with God. You say, what did Bartimaeus do? Did he spit on the ground, get some clay and anoint his own eyes? Did he ask for the crowd to do this or that? No, I want you to notice what it says. And I'm already off my little outline this morning, but let's see what it says. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out. He began to pray. Could I call that praying? Would y'all go along with that if you're crying out to Jesus? Could we not say that's a type of prayer? Can I tell you how you're going to get help from the Lord? You're going to have to... Hey, you know what the Bible says? You have not because you ask not.
Amen.
My, I'll tell you why. God may be sitting in heaven wanting to help you right now and you won't ask Him to. My, what a tragedy that is.
Amen.
What a tragedy. Sinner, I promise you there's a God in heaven waiting on your cry for mercy to save your unworthy soul. And if you'll cry out like Bartimaeus did, He'll save you today. But then on the same token, these defeated Christians sitting on the pew, you're living defeated, you're whipped. You're not living victorious. You don't have victory in your soul. You know why? You've not cried out to Jesus. Here's Bartimaeus and the Lord passed by. He didn't care what the crowd thought. He didn't care. He was low class. I guess he was. I don't know where they ranked the beggar, but I'm sure they figured beggars was the bottom of the social structure. Maybe he was an outcast and no one cared for him and he's just disgusting to the populace of the people. I don't know how they viewed Bartimaeus, but I would suspect it wasn't in a positive sense. But he didn't care. He didn't care what anybody thought. He had a problem. He knew he had a problem. He wanted help. And here's what he did. He heard that Jesus was passing by. He knew Jesus had helped others. And he cried out. And he cried out to Jesus. But I want you to notice what he cried. Here's what he said. He didn't say, Hey Jesus, look what a good fella I am. Hey Jesus, I've been good all my life. Hey Jesus, you're supposed to be this or that. You help me and I demand your help. No, it's not what he's saying. I want you to see what he's saying in our text. Verse 47. Thou son of David. Here's what he said. Thou son of David. He didn't call him Jesus of Nazareth. He's acknowledging him as the coming king. That's what he is. He's putting him in his rightful place. Thou son of David. But here's what I really want you to get. Here's what he said. Have mercy on me. Here's what Bartimaeus pleaded. He didn't plead. He didn't come to Jesus based on his righteousness. How good he was. Because he wasn't good. He didn't come to Jesus because of his religion. It doesn't even say he was a Pharisee or a Sadducee or a member of the Judaizers. He didn't come on religion. He didn't come because of who he was. He didn't seek help because of himself and his positive attributes in his life. But he sought help but based on who Jesus was. He knew Jesus was a man of mercy. Now, I don't know where he's gotten all this. He could have said a lot of things, but he said this. He said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Now here's what I want to tell you. If you're in need, we serve a God that is a God of mercy.
Amen.
Do you need help? He's a God of mercy that wants to help you. And here's what people say, well, I don't deserve it. I've not been living or I've not been doing that. Can I tell you? He's a God of mercy. He just shows mercy to people. He don't get, what is mercy? Not getting what you deserve, don't you see? He don't give any. If we got what we deserve, we'd all die. We'd all be in hell today if we got what we deserve. He's a God who will show you mercy in your life. My, think about that. I just wrote down some of these Psalms. It says this, for the Lord, this is Psalm 100 verse 5, for the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting. Can I just say this? His mercy don't run out. It goes on and on and on. His mercy, never will you come to God and God say this, I'll give out all the mercy I can give out today. You'll have to come back after we replenish or restore the mercy banks. Oh no! His mercy endureth forever and forever, friend. And when you think He's give you all the mercy He can give, He'll give you mercy again, don't you see? That's the God we serve. Oh my! You know what that tells me? Old Bartimaeus knew he didn't deserve help. That's what it tells me. Bartimaeus, he knew within himself he was unworthy. This may have been the chastening hand of God on his life. I don't know. I don't know why he's blind. We don't know. But we know this. He asked for mercy. And mercy's getting what you don't deserve. So Bartimaeus knew he didn't deserve. He didn't deserve help from God. But he asked for mercy. My, I thought about our God and His mercy. I've got all these verses down. Psalm 106 and verse 1 is mercy. Last part of the verse, His mercy endures forever. My, I'm looking for the one that says He's plenteous in mercy. He's plenteous in mercy. My, His mercy is as high as the heavens is from the earth. It's all in there. I'm up here preaching, camp. I should have marked them. Can't pick them out of the... I've got just verse after verse after verse on the mercy of God. And if you'll look at them all, it says this, His mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. It's as high as the heavens is from the earth. He's plenteous in mercy. Here's what I'm saying. And by the way, Hebrews 4 says there's a throne of grace we can go to and find grace and mercy to help in time of need. You have any problems? You have any problems you need help with? There's a God that I know of who's plenteous in mercy. And He never runs out. And it's everlasting to everlasting. So here we come down to old Bartimaeus. And he knew, he went to Jesus. I just want to tell you sinners and you saints alike, there's only one place to solve many of our, to solve the key problems of life. Let me say it that way. It's only one place, that's Jesus. You can talk to your counselors and there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not against that. You seek godly advice, but sometimes, in most cases, I believe, and you, I'm sure there's an exception to what I'm getting ready to say. If God doesn't execute His power in solving the problem, it'll never be solved. We're at the mercy of God. So was Bartimaeus. What got God's attention? He cried out. He cried out. Jesus! No, he didn't say that, did he? I started to say Jesus of Nazareth. He didn't say that. Thou Son of David. This is all he said. He didn't know how to pray good. He didn't know how to put all the right words together and make a real fluent prayer. But the Lord knew his heart. He knew he wanted help. All he said was, "Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me." That's all he said. Four words, basically. After he called him by name, "Thou son of David," he just said this, "Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me." He didn't know what to say. He didn't know all the right words. He knew he had a problem. He knew Jesus could solve his problem. He knew those following Jesus was trying to quiet him down. He wasn't going to listen to him. He didn't know what to say. He just said, "Have mercy on me." Now, the God whose mercy is from everlasting to everlasting and as high as the heavens is to the earth, and is plenteous in mercy, when he hears that cry for mercy, can I tell you what he does? He hears it. He hears it. You know why? He's wanting to show mercy. That's the God he is. He wants to show mercy. When you cry out, "Lord, have mercy on me," that catches his ear because he's wanting to show mercy, don't you see? Let's see what he did. Here's what happened. He started crying. When you start praying and crying out to Jesus, there'll be some that'll tell you to stop. Maybe some of the religious crowd. Who was it? Well, I guess it's Brother Willis preaching, saying the people that'll hurt you the most in this Christian life is those that's close to you. Remember him preaching that the other night? They'll hurt you. They'll tell you don't do what you need to do. And so the crowd, let's see what they said. Many charged him they should hold his peace. "Hey, you're making a scene, Bartimaeus. You're making a scene. Why don't you quit? The low class is showing out, I guess." I guess that's how these bunch of hypocrites felt about it. I don't know why they would say something like that. And so he cried out, and when he started crying out, those following Jesus, those closest to Jesus, those between him and Jesus, began to charge him to be quiet. Notice what it says. And many charged, verse 48, many charged him he should hold his peace. And so Bartimaeus just quietened down. Is that what the Bible said? No. No, they're not stopping him. Listen, if you want help from the Lord, you can't let people stop you because they'll stand in the way.
Yes, amen.
I'm telling you, what sinner or saint, they'll stand in the way. I know what I'm talking about. Here they are, and they're telling you to be quiet. But I want you to know what he did. But he cried the more a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." Here's what I think he was saying. "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." You need to quieten down. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. Hush, be quiet. You're talking too much. You're making a scene. "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." He wouldn't quit. He intended to get help. Whatever it took, Jesus was passing by. He had heard great things. He hadn't saw Jesus do anything. He hadn't saw Jesus heal a blind man. He's blind himself. All he had was what people told him about Jesus. He put his faith in what they had said about Jesus. And friend, he got help. He cried out. And the Lord, the Bible says this, the Lord stood still.
Amen.
Think about all the hustle and bustle. People talking. You know how a crowd is. You can't hear yourself think. Most cases, here's a fella, probably amongst that roar of the crowd, it probably was faint. Even though he was crying out loud, with all them people around, it probably was faint. But all of a sudden, the Lord stopped. And he said this, "I hear something. I hear a cry for mercy. Somebody's needing my help. Somebody's wanting my help.
Amen.
My, there's a lot of people needing this help. They don't want it. They are not going to cry out. Too proud. Too influenced by the people. Too concerned about what the people think. Not this. The Lord. Here's a man who's serious. He's serious about getting help, and he has a problem, and he's not bragging, he's not demanding, he's not commanding, he's simply saying, have mercy on me. And the Lord stops. Now you approach the Lord for mercy, you'll get His attention. Here He is. He cried. He cried. Why would he be so persistent? Why would he ignore the crowd? Why is he making an embarrassing on their part, not on his part, not on the Lord's part? Why would he be acting the way he's acting, being an embarrassment to their little area, Jericho area they're in? Why would he do that? He knew he needed help, and he wanted help. And he didn't care what anybody thought, because he knew Jesus, the Son of David, could help him. Now, I'm going to tell you, that's where you're going to have to get to. You're going to have to humble your heart and ignore the hypocrites and ignore that crowd that's proper and too dignified to really worship the Lord and serve Him. If you need help, can I tell you there's help? Let me just jump the punchline. There's help with Jesus.
Amen.
And you can't come and tell Him how holy you are and how right and how much good you're doing. You just have to throw yourself at His mercy.
Amen.
That's all you can do. But can I tell you, He's plenteous in mercy. He likes that. He likes to show mercy. That's the kind of God He is. He wants to show mercy. Do you have a problem today? The Lord stood and He called for him. He called for him. You know what the Syrophoenician woman said when she come to Jesus? O Lord, Thou Son of David. Let me back up. She cried unto Him saying, have mercy on me. O Lord, Thou Son of David. My daughter, grievously vexed with the devil. She had a daughter's devil possessed. You know what she asked for, Brother Bud? Mercy. And then he says to her, why? Well, I'm sent to the lost house of the children of Israel. She said, yea, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs. Which fall from the table. And if I'm not mistaken, I didn't flip over and read the whole passage, but I believe he called her, he said of her, she had great faith. Guess what happened? God heard her when she pled for mercy. Healed her daughter. The father had had the lunatic son. You know what he said? When they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's a lunatic and sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. You know what I think? You know what the 10 lepers said in Luke chapter 17? And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on me. I think sometimes we come to God thinking we're deserving. We've earned it. We've merited. We're nothing. I'm going to tell you how you're going to get something from God when you appeal to His mercy and not your goodness. Because there is nothing good. Here's a fellow who had a problem, couldn't be solved. Couldn't be solved. But he come to Jesus. And in verse, let me just jump to the close here. I don't even know how long I've been up. But let me jump to the close here this morning. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou I should do unto thee? Now it's getting intimate. He said, now tell me what you need. I need to know. You want some mercy. I'm going to give it to you, but what do you need? He wanted him to confess that he's a blind sinner. He wanted him to confess what his fault was. It may be You've been lukewarm. It may be you've been unfaithful to God. It may be you're lost. It may be, I don't know what the problem is. I don't know. But I'm telling you, I know where the help is. I know where the solution is. And so here he is. And Jesus said, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Now he didn't put on the front. He didn't pretend. He was just honest with the Lord. The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. I need mercy so I can see. I need to see. You see, that was the primary problem in his life. What's the primary problem in your life? Why don't you throw yourself at God's mercy? You can't see no way out. You can't see a solution. All you know is what the preacher's telling you, what the Bible says, what your Sunday school teacher says and teaches from the Word of God. That's all you know. You see no way out. There's no solution. There's no way. But can I tell you, if you'll just say, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me, I'm telling you, it'll get the ear of God. It'll touch God. Because what you're really saying is, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy, but would you help me? I need you to help me. I don't deserve your help. I'm in trouble. I've got this problem or that problem. My, I don't deserve any help, but would you show me mercy? That's what he did. And the Lord stopped and said, what do you need? He said, I need to see. I'm putting in these Tennessee words. You know that. He said, I need to see. And the Lord didn't say this. That's too big a problem. That's too big a problem. I can't handle that. Hey, let me ask you this. Is there any problem too big for our Lord? No, I'm serious. I want y'all to just stop. I want you to tell me. Is there, some of you have got problems and it's almost that we cannot see a solution. But tell me one problem that's too big for our Lord to solve. That's all I'm asking. Tell me one problem. Show me one place in the Bible somebody came to Jesus and said, would you help me? Have mercy on me. And he said, that one's too tough for me. We know it's not the Lord's fault, don't we? And I understand some problems that you don't get instantaneous solutions all the time like Bartimaeus did. But you do believe the Lord can solve your problem if you stop and think about it. Matthew 28, he says, I have all power in heaven and in earth. I mean, who's too big to withstand God? And I know, here's what the devil says. And it's the truth. Man has a will. You believe God can just keep adding conviction? I believe He can. I believe He can get you down to the point you feel like you're going to die. I believe that. I truly believe that. And I want you to notice verse 52. It's a great truth. We can't lay hold to it. We can't lay hold to this truth because we can't see. We can't see a possible solution. We can't see a changed life. We cannot see it. We're like Bartimaeus, but we don't have the faith he had. I want you to notice what the last verse says. He said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Thy faith. Sinner, do you believe the Lord would save you? Don't come to Him if you don't believe it. Because you have to come in faith believing. He'll save you, sinner. Oh God, I'm a sinner. I know Jesus died for my sins. Would you save me? When I knelt in that altar and was saved that night, I said this, God save me. God save me. Now really, I want to ask you this. Do you really believe that God can touch your marriage, touch your home, touch your children, touch your finances? Do you really believe He has power to work those out? Some of you have got children. I pray for Rodney for 20 years. I pray for him for 20 years. And I know y'all pray longer than that. And other people in this room, Brother Bud, you pray for him 20 years. And many of you in here have. And it's rare I pray that I don't pray for Rodney. I pray for him. He's not saved, as far as I know right now. He's not saved. But can I tell you what we'll work on, Rodney? The prayer, the faith that we place in the Lord when we cry on Him. Now, here's what you say. Well, that was Bartimaeus crying out to God. That was his faith. I understand that. But you do believe in intercessory faith. Amen. What about the Syrophoenician woman? Wasn't her daughter praying? What about the lunatics? Lunatic son's father. Wasn't the lunatic son praying? It was the parents. You know what they prayed for? Mercy. That catches God's ear today. Does anybody need mercy? Is there anybody in this building that needs mercy this morning? Anybody need mercy? It's available. He's plenteous in mercy. His mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. It's as high as the heavens is from the earth. Do you need mercy? Do you need mercy? That's my question. If you do, why don't you cry out? You say, well, what will these people think? Who cares if you can get help? Who cares? What does it matter if you can get help? Who cares what people... And they wouldn't anyways, but even if you believe what the devil tells you, who cares? You need help. Do you need it bad enough? Do you know you have a problem? Do you know you have a problem? And then secondly, if you know you have a problem, do you want help? And then the next question is, if the Lord's dealing with your heart, are you willing to cry out for mercy? Let's bow our heads this morning. We'll ask somebody, Jordan, come to the piano. And we're gonna just play quietly. I wonder today, is there anybody here with a problem? And the fact of the matter is, you can't solve it. There's no answer. You need mercy. Fact of the matter is, you need mercy from the Lord. You need help from Him. Why don't you come and call out for mercy? And just say, Lord, I'm not worthy for You to help me. I'm not worthy. But would You show me mercy and help me this morning?